Welcome to Business Women Australia's radio show. I'm Sally Barker. Each week I'll be talking with a leading member of BWA. These inspiring business leaders are very generous in sharing their stories, insights and expertise with us. Joining me on the show today is Marie Gooch from Belay Consulting. How are you?
Hi Sally, thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us today. Now today we're going to talk about something very interesting, and that is don't wait to be perfect. Now, what do you mean by don't wait to be perfect? Now, we're talking about if you're wanting to pursue a career on sitting on boards. Is this what we're talking about? Now, what do you mean by don't wait to be perfect?
Very often women are they wait to be perfect. They have to get everything right, the ducks lined up, all of that sort of thing. I'm suggesting very strongly that you take on the 80-20 Pareto principle and have a go. So if you think you're 80% there, then have a go. If you're not ready, then I can help you with some steps today about getting ready and being prepared.
Because there are lots of stats about men, even if they think they've got 50% of the skills required for a particular job, they'll still apply. But you're correct. Women will wait until they've got 100%, and if they don't, they just won't.
Exactly. So part of it's confidence, and part of it's actually an invitation. And sometimes it's actually talking to some of those men to get that invitation. So it's about positioning as well.
Mm-hmm. So if this is something that some of our listeners are thinking they'd like to pursue, what would be the very first step that they should take?
I think really importantly to consider, what area are you interested in? Is it the arts? Is it agriculture? Is it mining? Is it the not-for-profit sector? Not-for-profit organisations are always looking for board members and often volunteers. So it's a bit of a litmus test for you to decide if you can afford the time, if you are interested and committed. And if not the first one, then have a look at another one. It could be a school board or committee. There's lots of independent public schools around now that need people to help and support them. And sometimes a community member, not necessarily a parent or a teacher. There are ASX-listed companies. There's many statistics about the importance of having gender and cultural diversity as well. There was a study done a couple of years ago that if women continued in the same vein, like the level of engagement and getting the jobs, it would take about 300 years at the current pace to get to equity in pay and equity about women on boards.
Is that right?
So, it's if I can say the study name.
Yes,
called Filling the Pool, and it was done by the Committee for Perth. It was done over 2 years. And they actually developed a blueprint, which I absolutely applaud them for doing. It says what women can do, it says what government can do, and it says what industry can do. Mm-hmm. And it's just a roadmap, and it's really valuable. It's public knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's publicly out there. I think it's really important that people understand governance. When the chips are down and things might get dirty and messy, if you go back to governance and you have your systems and processes and procedures and you know what your rights, your roles and your responsibilities are, then you can always go back to that. And if things get messy or emotional, go back to governance and it will give you that guiding light to sort of follow.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned there's different types of boards you need to be mindful of. There is the unpaid positions, of course, the volunteer, and there's also the paid positions. Is it important to cut your teeth as such in an unpaid position before you try and move into a paid position?
It all depends on your skill level. Mm-hmm. And how probably confident you are, or if someone has invited you. Certainly in Western Australia, it seems to be that you need to sometimes be invited onto a board by someone who's on a board or thinks you have the capabilities. And I was very fortunate to be tapped on the shoulder in my early 30s by an older man who invited me onto a statutory body for government advisory. Mm-hmm. And it was a ministerial appointment. And I was fortunate to be on that for 11 years. I cut my teeth, but then looking back, I had probably sat on not-for-profit and community organisations for 12 years prior to that. Mm. So I think it's important. It is an important part of getting going, yes.
Mm. Now let's talk about education. Are there ways you can educate yourself and know what to expect?
Yes, you need to identify your responsibilities and the role that you will be playing. If you are going to be a chair, that takes another level of responsibility. There are organisations out there who you can do training with. Some cost significant amounts of money and some don't. So it depends on where you're at, your age and stage. I think it's a good idea to practice. So join a not-for-profit to practice. You do need to be committed. So you need to do what you're going to say as well as saying what you're going to do. There are websites available, the Australia ASX, the Australian Institute of Company Directors, WA Council of Social Services, Business Women Australia. They all have support to help you with governance, code of conduct, what's involved in being on a board. So there's plenty of information out there. You can Google it and it will come up with hundreds and hundreds of things. Those few that I mentioned are probably some that you can go to and think, yes, okay, this can give me some direction and I know where I can go.
So you've mentioned a few things there, but what can we expect? What can we expect from being on a board? What sort of time do we expect to put into that? What sort of tasks, what responsibilities should we be prepared to handle?
I think it's important to ask that question before you actually commit. So I was just recently speaking with someone and they said, would you go on a board? And I said, I need to know the time commitment that you're expecting of me. I need to know who else is on the board, because you do need to actually do your own due diligence before you get involved. And is there any remuneration or is it volunteer? So if you're clear and open in the beginning and they are too, then there's no mixed messages or anything like that. So
Yeah, and I guess the ethics of the board as well, they have to sit with your own values.
Absolutely, and many boards and committees have a code of conduct and a code of ethics, and if they don't, then that might tell you something about whether you want to actually get involved with them as an, or not. They may be a fledgling organisation and they don't have that yet. You may be able to direct them to that, which is where all that is publicly available on the internet. And there's some good organisations to help people into that.
So there's also something that we refer to as the sniff test. What's the sniff test?
We've all smelt rotten fish, I'm sure, or a rotten egg. So the sniff test is a bit like that. I encourage people to go with their intuition. The sniff test or the smell test is used in finance, and it's if something doesn't feel right, then it probably isn't. And if something doesn't sound right, then it probably isn't. And if there are alarm bells and something just isn't quite right in the beginning, it's probably not going to get any better. And I say that from experience. I was on a board and it didn't feel right in the beginning. I thought, oh, it's just the first meeting. I'm new. Two more meetings later, there were just little signals that things weren't quite right. And then we were asked to, it was about $1 million budget, and we were asked to write off $20,000 for 11 books. And I just went, sorry, no, I'm not signing off on that. So as a board member, you also need to know that you're responsible for things like budgets. So if it doesn't sound right, feel right, look right, it probably isn't. Trust your inner judgment. I would encourage people to maybe find a mentor as well. And I went through, I had finished with the AICD, I finished the course, and I'm a fellow of the AICD, so I feel comfortable talking about this. And I did all the things that I thought I should have done and then phoned my mentor. I was pretty upset at the time because I was thinking, this can't be right. No, no, no. It was public funds. And he said, have you done this, this, this and this? And I said, yes. He said, good. Live and learn. So it was quite a blunt feedback, but it was very much live and learn. And from that, dusted myself off, resigned, and then made sure that I informed the correct authorities about things. And 2 years later, things were sorted out. Just took some process. So do find an experienced mentor. Maybe tell people that you're looking for a board role. Find someone that you can bounce ideas off confidentially and, you know, is this okay? That's, you know, go with your gut.
Yeah, I think that's important, and oftentimes we ignore that, don't we? Yeah.
Or we forget. Or we fall in love with a wonderful new idea, or we get distracted as a butterfly or something. But if you can keep grounded, and that's where that governance comes back, if you can be grounded at all times and keep that as your radar, then that's really important.
I mean, and as you mentioned, a lot of times here in WA, it is that tap on the shoulder and that invitation to join the board. And when you do find yourself in a situation that is a little bit uncomfortable, that, you know, does go against your, you know, what you know is right and wrong, then it is a little bit of, well, actually, they've asked me, they think there's something special in me that I can be bringing to the table, and now I'm not agreeing with them. I think there's a little bit of that as well, isn't there?
Yes, and I have had another several experiences where I've had to say, actually, this isn't right. Mm. Or if something's not minuted in a particular way, you as a board member or committee member have the right to say, please make sure that those minutes have been corrected. Mm. And if they're not done, then you can insist that. Mm. It sounds like you're being picky or nitpicky, but you have to make sure that the correct information is recorded at all times, because you just never know when it's going to come back, and it could be something very important.
Mm. Oh, of course, of course. So don't wait to be perfect, but at the same time, do your due diligence. Make sure you know what you're getting into. Is it a good idea to get to know? Can you even have a coffee with some of the existing board members just to feel them out to see whether you are the right person to fit that culture?
That's a fantastic idea. I've got here, do your research. So to me, research, due diligence, same thing. Who are they? Who is this organisation that you either want to be involved with because you've found them, or you have been tapped on the shoulder? Look at the board members. We're very fortunate now that through social media and other forms of the internet, we can actually look and see, who are they? What are they doing? Do you want to be around them? Can you learn from them? Can they learn from you? Mm. What do they stand for? What does the organisation stand for? Where are they? Are they near to you? Are they metro-based? Are they interstate? Are they international? What is the culture of the organisation? And you can actually find out a fair bit of that, and they're called water cooler chats. Some people do. You might want to have a coffee with someone and then get a feel for it, and you might want to have a coffee with the chairman as well. Mm. So they're generally very busy, but if they're serious about you wanting you on the board, then they should be able to make that time and really have a look at the finances as well, because you need to be very mindful of your responsibilities if you're getting involved with something regarding the finances. If you're not comfortable and confident about knowing about the finances, there are plenty of places you can go to learn what is a statement of cash flow, what is a statement of position, and what is a statement of income. Mm. They're the new words for the balance sheet and the profit and loss statement. And you can get upskilled in those in a few hours and feel comfortable. Mm. Saying that, I think the first six times I saw all of those statements, it was like double dutch looking at it, and it's very confusing. So you need to find someone that you can trust who won't make you feel silly, and that you can be helped through that process. And it is a learning process.
Yes.
The really cool thing about finances is they tell a story.
Mm.
So using ABC Learning Centres as an example, for many years they had an auditor. They changed audit company, but no one picked up that the auditor had just, it was the same signature on the bottom of the finances. I picked that up. And when ABC Learning Centres went under, the top 20 investors were banks. So someone missed it along the way.
Wow.
So you need to look, and you need to look below the surface and not be distracted by, oh my gosh, I've been tapped on the shoulder to be on a board. And be yourself. Always be yourself. Stick to your inner compass. People will sniff out if you're not yourself.
Mm.
Just be yourself and, find a way to learn. There's lots of ways, but find a way to learn. And don't wait to be perfect.
No, exactly, exactly. Well, thank you so much for all that wonderful information, and thank you for joining us on Business Women Australia's radio show. Marie Gooch from Belay Consulting, proud station sponsor.
Thanks very much.